The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. We are your hosts. I'm Duvall. This is my best friend in the world, Dave Draper.
Hooray! Yay!
Gang, we're back for an all-new week. It's been an interesting week of...
Yeah, it's been super.
Yeah, well, Dave's had a stressful week. I had two auctions in 2 days, which was very interesting.
Yeah, you never... Well, I guess you did get back to me, but it was bad. Bad signal.
Yeah, the Gall auction on Sunday was... if you're standing inside of that building, it's like the black hole of signals. Like, nothing gets in or out. So when I'd walk outside, my phone would blow up. But then I'd be too close to the building and be sending stuff out, and it would never go. Mm. And the last one I sent was to you, because you had asked me, are you at Gall's auction or are you working? And I was like, no, but I'm here anyway. And it said it sent, and it must have never sent.
I never got it. Because I was like, because if you weren't at Gall's auction, I was going to be like, could you come over and hang out with me? Because I am in a bad place.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
Eh, whatever.
Yeah, I felt bad, too, because the next day you were like, are you okay? And I'm like,
Yeah, well, I was like a little worried about you.
I was like,
Because I didn't see you post anything on Facebook. Blah,
oh, blah, blah. Yeah.
I was probably a couple hours away from texting Carrie, like, is he okay?
Yeah.
Is he back in the hospital? Because that like, actually came up in conversation.
Me in the hospital?
Yeah. I was talking about another incident with somebody else. That was sort of predicated on when you were in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I think that put that in my head.
I gotcha. Nope, I was good. It just, stupid signal. Stupid, crappy, awful signal.
And again, you know, like, I'm always checking my phone. I'm always sending myself little texts that say test.
Right.
Because I'm, like, always checking to see if, like, my thing works.
Yeah, you're like,
sometimes it doesn't.
You're like, hello?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about those auctions here in a little bit once we get through the news. Because the auction I went to on Saturday was the most... was the strangest auction I've ever been to in my life.
Okay.
And it was just weird and awkward.
Sounds like a classic Dave and Duvall adventure.
Oh, no, let me tell you what, man.
But without the Dave.
Well,
that's fine. I was having a ball.
It was an auction you would not have been interested in going to.
No, I was having so much fun watching my kitchen flood.
Yeah, good
time. Pretty sure that was the day that the rain was coming through the roof.
Ah, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's always fun.
Yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, I know.
Ah, home ownership.
I know.
Ah, it's a beautiful thing.
Woke up like, why do I smell pennies?
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, well, both sides of my face still work, so I'm relatively happy about that.
That's good.
I was stressed.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was a bad day, because we couldn't find the exact spot. We could kind of find it, but, like, not exactly, like, nailing on the outside. And, of course, it was raining and cold and grumpy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, ugh. Just, it was a nightmare.
Ugh.
And you know how I get when things go, like, seriously wrong?
Oh, I know.
Oh, this was, like, me dialed up to 11.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, dude.
And then that predicated my first real nastiness with Tracy.
Really?
I was wound pretty tight, because I guess it was Monday. Sunday must have been when it was coming through. No, because no, I canceled
it. It was Saturday.
Yeah, but I was like, but we were supposed to rain again on Monday.
Yeah.
So, and we thought we got it. We didn't know, so it's like, I may have... She was being a little... But I don't want to be like... But she was kind of being like, you know, do this, do... You know, like...
Right.
Like a girlfriend, like a wife, right. Kind of like, you know, take out the recycling, do this, that, do your laundry. I'm like, why do I need to do my laundry right now? I don't need to do my laundry right now. And it got to like one thing too many, and I might have called her a name.
Ah.
Which, like, not immediately, but like I realized it really hurt her feelings.
Right.
And I apologized, but it really hurt her feelings. And it's like, you don't understand. I am so wound up right now.
Well, in your defense, you've never been in this type of relationship where somebody's technically living with you in that sense, so it's still a learning process.
Yeah.
So
but I it was one of those things, like, it's hard to explain because in my head it started out as a joke, you know, and then when I said I could tell it wasn't a joke.
You clearly didn't say it as a joke.
I clearly didn't say it as a joke because I was wound up. But you know, on the other hand, she's known me for 2 years, and this is the most malicious thing I've ever done.
Right.
In 2 years, and I do think
feelings will be hurt, and then
my home, my world literally being threatened. Like, I feel like these are extenuating circumstances. Like, it was not me at my best moment. No.
Well.
And the minute I realized I hurt her feelings, I apologized. Like, very sincerely.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, eh.
It's all good now, though, right?
Yeah. I assume so. If I die, it's because she poisoned the pot roast to get back at me.
Fair enough.
Which is whatever. Like, the only thing I've ever asked of her is to, like, let me live till next December.
Till next December.
That's all I ask of her.
I just need to finish Star Wars, damn it.
I just need to finish Star Wars, and then you can just murder me.
Oh, David, I'm sorry.
But it was, yeah, and then there's, I talked about some other stuff that's just...
Yeah.
I am, like, super wound up right now.
Yeah.
Like, and I just want everything to be, like, okay, and I can breathe and relax. See, I can't do that, because the minute you do that, that's when something bad happens. Oh, that's when the whole ceiling fan falls in.
You're speaking to the... You're preaching to the choir there, brother.
Well, I'm looking at an X chair.
Yeah, yeah. Carrie and I, every time... We always joke, every time we book a vacation somewhere...
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Something terrible happens. And it's been like that since we moved into this house. Because the first year we booked a vacation was to Disney World. And that, like, 2 weeks before we were getting ready to leave, we discovered we had termites.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and there was like $3,000.
Yeah, they were super aggressive termites,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, boy, were they. Well, they were only outside, but they were coming towards the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need to get rid of these before they get in the house. We found out we had termites, and then...
That's another thing, is April's when I get the exterminate. It's like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
One expense after another.
I know. The guys that were out here for the termite traps checking them today, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's $300 that we'll have to pay here in a little
while. Wow.
Just 200 something. Traps? Yeah, every year.
Wow.
Yep, to keep them, to upkeep them and all that stuff. Yeah, it's...
Wow, who do you use?
Terminex.
Okay.
So...
Okay. Because that's my whole house being sprayed is like 180.
I know. Yeah, it's good times. Good times. So
good times. Home ownership is awesome.
Yeah,
people.
It's the greatest.
The American dream is alive and well, should all pursue it.
If you live in an apartment and are comfortable, stay there for the rest of your God-given life.
Yeah. Well,
home ownership is not all it's cracked up to be.
It sucks, but I also like, I don't know that I could, because part of what's stressing me out right now with my taxes is that I'm sort of like not in control of the situation.
Right.
So like living in an apartment, like, you're not in control of, like,
but you know what,
something goes wrong. I mean, yes, someone else pays for it eventually and gets around to fixing it eventually.
Right.
But you're...
Well, but like when I lived in the apartments, we lived in a decent set of apartments where the landlords, you know, they it was owned by a corporation and they were quick to fix stuff. Like they had people in. The one time that we had an issue was the water trap for the air conditioner backed up and it flooded. It kind of flooded the first part of the living room because we walked in and it's that squish, squish. Ugh. Squish, squish, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. So they had, like, I called them, and they immediately were out there, like, putting fans up to dry everything, and they fixed the problem immediately, and I was like, all right, well, this is cool.
Yeah, I think you gotta, like, live, you gotta co-occupy with other human beings. That's not my forte.
Yeah, it's true. I got lucky. There was no loud people above me.
You probably were the loud people.
Yeah, probably. I might have.
Especially back then, you guys were kind of rowdy kids.
You know, but not at the apartment, though. And I think Carrie would vouch for this. It wasn't... I didn't do a whole lot but watch movies and play video games. Like, I'd get up, I'd go to work. She and I would hang out, and I would watch movies and play video games. Like, that was the extent of my... Danny was rowdy. Like, Danny'd go out and, like, party and hang out with people till, like, all hours of the night some nights. But I wasn't. I was just like, I don't do any of that stuff. I just want to sit here on my couch and play this game. Ah, the wonderful days. For anyone excited about the Deadpool animated series on FX...
We've got good news for you.
Yeah, it's been canceled, sorry. It appears that FX and Donald Glover both parted ways with the Deadpool animated series they were working on with Marvel Television. The show had been given a straight-to-series order for 10 episodes that would have seen Donald Glover writing and executive producing the series along with his brother Steven Glover. and it looks like on Instagram... Donald released a series of Deadpool the Animated Series script pages called Finale, where he just basically, if you read it, he's basically taking pot shots at like FX and all this stuff and talking about how, you know, there's too much humor in here that African Americans would get that white people won't understand and stuff like that. So it's because it's pretty much what probably FX was like, you know, it's just I could hear them, and I could hear them saying, no, it's just it's too black.
No. It's too urban. Excuse me, it's too urban.
Too urban. Thank you.
I don't believe that the red states will get this sort of humor.
It was like, come on, man, really?
Yeah, because it's not like Black Panther is like the number one movie in the world right now. But, you know, whatever.
Like, this whole series of scripts is Deadpool protecting Sudan, the last white rhino, who just passed away a couple days ago. So it's kind of sad, but it happens. Big surprise here. 20th Century Fox has pushed back both the Dark Phoenix and the New Mutants films all the way to next year.
Like, how long is this GD merger gonna take? This is the slowest merger in the history of the world.
Collar had an inside story explaining why the movies were moved. Dark Phoenix delays are due to scheduling conflicts for reshoots. And then Fox allegedly wants half of New Mutants to be reshot. So X-Men Dark Phoenix says, after recent test screenings, the producers felt some additional photography was needed. The problem is it's a rather high-profile cast. Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Jessica Chastain, Sophie Turner.
Jessica Lawrence is still in this thing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. James McAvoy. And due to all the busy schedules of the cast, scheduling reshoots is not the easiest. And the earliest that director Simon Kinberg can get all of them back together is either August to September of this year. And that wouldn't leave enough time to finish the effects work to meet the original November release date. So they got bumped to February 2019. But it was also revealed that, you know, it seems that the entire third act of Dark Phoenix needs reworked, and it's going to cost about $10 million. So they're like, yeah. New Mutants, on the other hand, was because it's delayed because it's not scary enough. So the trailer for Josh Boone's film had a bunch of horror movie vibes to it.
I thought it was supposed to be a horror movie.
It is. It was previously announced New Mutants was being pushed for reshoots, basically to add a new character. And while Collider says that's true, and that the reactions at a test screening were very positive, apparently Boone delivered a cut to Fox that he was happy with, but Fox wanted more. They want New Mutants to be as tonally distinct in the same way Logan and Deadpool. So Fox allegedly wants almost 50% of the film to be reshot, and the addition of one or two major characters. Of course, not a great sign. So it sounds like Fox is screwing with what could have actually been a pretty decent film that no one's really given a chance, that once it hit, could have actually been a pretty decent idea and a pretty well, you know, constructed film, but now it looks like it's just going to be crap. Anyone's waiting for the Beetlejuice musical.
The
Beetlejuice musical. So the 30th anniversary of Beetlejuice is this month, and they've announced the Long in the Making musical.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I know they've been diddling around with a sequel forever.
So the Beetlejuice musical, directed by Alex Timbers, who directed Rocky the Musical, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, and Peter and the Starcatcher, which only one of those three plays actually made any money. I'll give you a guess which one.
Rocky the Musical?
No.
Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson?
No. Peter and the Starcatcher.
Okay, I have no idea what that is.
It was about Peter and the Starcatcher is the tale of Peter Pan, how Peter Pan and Captain Hook met, and how they were friends.
I thought they made that into a movie, didn't they?
Yeah.
Is that based on
the okay, book?
There's a book.
Yeah, there's a book. It was a book series.
For Peter Pan.
Peter Pan and the Starcatcher. Yep. The musical adapts Tim Burton's 1988 horror comedy. And so it's going to be they're hoping to translate Burton's unique style to the stage, including its outrageous and edgy humor. And they quote, one of the things we're focusing on is the emotional story of the character of Lydia, who has an interesting inverted arc. She's a living girl obsessed with death, and Beetlejuice is a dead figure obsessed with life. The film is a family drama with the two Dietzes and the two Maitlands and Lydia and Beetlejuice all in one house. And we're also seizing on the house as a character because it's inherently emotional and theatrical and fun.
Yeah, it was pretty theatrical back when it was a movie.
Yeah.
It's funny how movies are theatrical like that. So they're going to cast, I guess they'll cast Kevin Spacey
as the dad? They haven't cast, right?
David said the musical's had 3 readings and 2 laboratory workshops so far, but the producers have not yet announced casting for the production, and no further details about casting or exact dates for the Washington, D.C. run or potential Broadway run for Beetlejuice have been set. So,
Washington, D.C., that's prestigious.
Yeah, they place usually, to launch a musical. Yeah, off-Broadway, they usually do that kind of stuff.
I always assumed off-Broadway was like somewhere else in New York.
Sometimes it's other places. Mm-hmm. Like SpongeBob SquarePants, which played on Broadway, which was a huge success. Believe it or not, yes, they made a SpongeBob SquarePants musical. It actually...
Well, okay. Like, there are multiple musical episodes, so...
Well, but it actually had its debut in Chicago. Like, it performed in Chicago for like a year and a half before it moved to Broadway.
All right.
So, yeah. Off-Broadway could be anywhere.
Sure.
Beetlejuice will be the latest musical undertaking for Warner Brothers Theater Ventures and Langley Park Productions, which faced some disappointments recently with Charlie and the Chuck Factory, which was something they relaunched and it failed.
Okay.
Anybody looking for some Lego Tron... everybody rejoice because on March 31st of this year at $34.99, the Tron Legacy Lego Ideas set will
be
released.
That's striking when the iron is like super white hot.
Well, it's a Lego Ideas thing though. So
I know.
So you get Sam Flynn, Renslar, Korra, and 2 light cycles and identity discs from the futuristic film, and those will hit on March 22nd.
God, I can't even remember her name, and I used to be obsessed with her.
Oh, the actress?
Yeah, Blake Core.
Yeah, I don't remember who she was.
She was beautiful.
230-piece Tron Legacy set features 3 minifigures of Sam, Korra, and Renslar, the 2 biddable light cycles for Sam and Renslar, and a Tron grid display base. And they all feature some fun stuff there from the film. So,
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde, there you go. Yeah, so anybody looking for that set, it'll hit at the end of this month. So I would say you could look at your local Toys R Us, but...
Oh, yeah, but you can't. You
can't anymore, so...
Kind of holding out till they drop to 20%, and I might try to pick up if they still got Ticket to Ride.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, I feel somewhat pleased that one of the first things to go was the Dungeons & Dragons
set. I saw you post that, and I was like, that's funny.
I was like, yay, the spirit of nerds live on.
Yay!
Cheap nerds, but nerds.
Yay! Oh, what's sad is it was probably one of the board game stores, one of the gaming stores bought them out.
Well, why wouldn't they buy out to like resell all the other stuff?
Maybe because they need Dungeons & Dragons games. Who knows?
Okay, now you just depressed me.
I know, I'm sorry. The 2018, according to Toy News International, PowieCon.
PowieCon?
PowieCon.
Powie.
That's how Jay spelled it. He forgot the R.
When the He-Man hits the Skeletor, it goes, Powie!
PowieCon!
The old Batman TV show.
So the 2018 PowerCon exclusive, the first figure offered this year and revealed, is none other than the Filmation version of Spikor.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
It's hard to believe I was never a fan of that show. I guess you have to see the picture. Some people are like, I don't understand. It's like... It does not look good.
No, the Filmation Spiker was not a good design for that character.
No. Now, you said before we started that people were going to be angry about this.
Well, because people collecting the Filmation stuff, like, I don't know if PowerCon's going to release them to the public again. Like, I remember last year there was a big to-do about, like, I know Big Bad got a bunch.
Yeah, I got Big Bad.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I didn't get Big Bad, but I got the set from Big Bad.
Right. I don't know if he's going to be offered in a set of figures or if he's... it just says the first of 3 exclusives that will be offered this year's convention.
Gosh, which takes place like really weird.
It's the Filmation design,
I don't remember him from the Filmation.
He wasn't on a whole lot, but when he was, you're just like, ugh, that's kind of crappy.
It's
very basic. Like, no, there's no depth to him at all. Like, it's just, I get it, it's Filmation. It's supposed to be designed that way. But, hell, even the Filmation Man-at-Arms looked kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a weird design.
It is. Once again, for the page of Dave and I's, really they haven't made pop vinyls of that yet. Pop vinyl is getting a Sandlot set from the classic movie Sandlot.
The only reason people remember that movie is that line about,
you're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, that's the only thing people know about that movie.
So you get Smalls, you get Benny, you get Squint, you get Ham, you get the Beast. And then you get Squints and Wendy Peppercorn 2-pack from the pool.
All right.
So that'll be found at Target. So
this is the next generation's thing.
Power Rangers Power Morphicon this year. They revealed what's probably going to be the last figure released by Bandai. And the exclusive figure this year is the evil Lord Drekkon, who was actually Tommy Oliver.
Hooray.
In an alternate future, Tommy discovered that with the power that they could, instead of being heroes, they could be gods. And so this version of Tommy has both the Green Ranger and the White Ranger powers and controls an army of Power Rangers, basically. And
that rules sounds like a pretty for Power Rangers, a pretty slick storyline.
Well, there's a comic book series going on right now from Boom Studios called Shattered Grid, which is basically the story of this. All right. They did a little live-action commercial for the comic with Jason David Frank as this version of Tommy.
That's impressive because he's very busy.
Yeah.
With
his career. So this will be at Power Morphicon this year, which I don't know if they've announced the actual date.
But here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, he should have paid attention to the trailers for the Power Rangers movie because they told you that no one man should have all that power.
That's true. That is true. It was a good song.
It was a good song.
Yes.
And I feel it was a decent reference.
It was a decent reference.
Thank you.
The Toys That Made Us, the rest of season one.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yep. Will be airing on Netflix in May.
Jeez.
And they were... So the next episodes will focus on Transformers, Hello Kitty, Star Trek, and Lego. Of course, the first part of season one debuted back in December.
Yeah.
So we will get the next part. But on top of that... Netflix also announced that they picked them up for a second season. So we got a second season coming of The Toys That Made Us.
I mean, yes, that's cool. I really enjoyed that show. Man, Netflix is just like spending money.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand how they're making money.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because they're doing all of, like, they're just throwing so much money out there. Maybe the subscription count worldwide allows them to do that kind of thing.
Yes.
But it's, yeah, they're just throwing money left and right, man.
Yeah, I mean, they are just... It's like, I get that you guys were the future, but now we're living in the time of your ascendancy.
Yes.
So you should
ascendancy.
So maybe you should be like paying attention to what happened to like everybody else.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like something else is going to come along and knock you off.
And then Disney is coming next year.
Yeah.
And it's very possible with the power that Disney's got that they
I'm talking like a whole new thing though. Like in the way that we didn't see Netflix coming.
Come on,
I think the next thing is going to be like...
We've been waiting for a next thing for YouTube for years and it hadn't happened yet.
Well, but YouTube's kind of fallen off. YouTube's killing itself.
Well, that's true.
It's strangling. There are alternatives, but none of them are really that great.
No, especially not for what we do. None of them
are. No, not for what we do.
No, not at all. HasLab, a little update on the Java sail barge, the Katana. There are 6 days to go as of this recording, and they are at 3,989... backers, which that may have jumped since I pulled this page up.
Let's mixed see. Feelings.
3,993 of 5,000. And Dave is both happy and, man, I'm not happy.
I wanted it's a cool toy. I really am, like, starting to sweat the money thing.
Yeah.
Like, it is really... I am accelerating into this skid big time.
Maybe you should stop.
I don't know how.
Just stop.
But there's always something else, man. It's not always like it's not always stuff that I want. It's like the furnace needs a new circuit board because that's a thing that furnaces have.
Yeah.
The roof needs to not have water coming through it.
Yeah, there's that.
The government wants its money. There's the local government wants its money from my house.
Yeah, there's that.
And then it's like, well, you can just not buy Han Solo and Jurassic World toys. Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, that could.
It's probably not going to happen.
I was
going to
say, it's probably not an alternative that looks welcoming.
You know, and it's like we got Jabba Sail Barge, you know, we got, and you know, if you miss out on that, you're never going to be able to afford that again.
No.
Now we're going to talk about something else in a minute that I'd really like to back, and we'll probably...
Eventually.
I don't know. We'll see.
Cherry pick it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I will throw money at it because I love them. But how much money, I don't know yet.
Right. So what Dave is talking about is Boss Fight released their latest Kickstarter, which is the first Kickstarter since they did Vitruvian Hacks.
Yes.
And this is...
As far as I know.
And this is a Kickstarter for their 1/18th scale articulated horses to fit the Vitruvian Hacks.
Yeah.
And that may not sound cool.
Well, to be fair, that's something people have asked for.
Yes.
And, okay, I assume you're going to explain, but, like, just as an overview, the depth of attention that they are going into just with the horse itself, but with the stuff.
With the articulation of
the horse. No, what I meant is like when you get into the gear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like there's all this crazy, just detailed gear.
So they got a $125,000 goal. They're at $65,000 already. So they're already halfway there.
And they started last night.
Yeah, they started it last night. So there's a basic steed, which is named Shield. He's a white horse. Perfect for silver. There's a light accessory kit that's available, which is a Roman tack kit, which is a custom full saddle and blanket, bridle, all that stuff. There's Roman gear for the hacks, so you can
kind of make your little legions.
Yeah, spiff out your legions with the helmet, the shield, and the spear.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There's Smoke, who is the black horse. There's an Australian tack kit for the horses, which is basically a different saddle and bridle. There's a rancher gear kit, which has a bandana, a rifle, a holster, and a thing of rope.
Yeah, that looks cool. I thought the accessory kits look cool, man.
There's a bright Pegasus and unicorn kit. The creature builder kit. So you get wings and the unicorn face and all that stuff. There is a Sarah Francis, which is a homage to not only Rainbow Bright, but the colorful stickers of Lisa Frank.
Okay.
In a way.
I don't know what those are.
Yeah, Dave, those were, I do, sadly. But he very much looks like Starlight from Rainbow Bright. You get, the stretch goals are... the basic steed of Sox, who is more of a...
brown with white feet.
Yeah. You get a creature builder kit at $170,000. It's the Dark Pegasus and Unicorn, which actually looks really cool. You get a light accessory kit for the a different version of the Roman Tack kit at $185,000. You get the Elk at $210,000, so it's not just horses. They are doing some different stuff here. His name is Kawiki, and he actually looks really cool.
I know. I'm like, I really want the elk.
I really want the elk. He's neat. You get
elk gear.
You get an elven tact for the elk, so the elves
can recreate that one moment from that terrible Hobbit movie.
Yep. You get a Knight of Accord kit.
Barding.
Yep, at $240,000, which is very cool. Fully armored. Reminds me of the old, you got one of them.
The Noble Knights?
Yeah, the Noble Knights.
Yeah, it's barding.
Yeah. An elven rider gear, so bows and knives and...
I'm pretty sure that came with the elf to begin with.
Yeah, unless it's...
So I was just kind of playing with that today.
Yeah. $265,000 unlocks the Australian Tact Kit, a different version of it.
I think a different color,
Color. $280,000 cool. Unlocks the Knight of Asperity Tact Kit, which is a whole new...
kind of a apocalyptic... with skulls, yep. And then the horse has like a skull thing over its head.
Very cool.
Very heavy metal album cover.
$295,000 gives us another elven tact kit for the elk.
Okay.
$315,000 gives us a male centaur, which is pretty cool. $335,000 gives us the centaur rides.
The female centaur.
The female centaurs.
Did you just describe her as a ride?
That's how they spelled it. Centaur rides.
All right.
I'm not lying. That's what it says on here. $345,000 unlocks the Knight of Accord. So helmet, shield.
Well, it's like a jousting shield and a lance.
Yeah. $355,000 unlocks the Knight of Asperity gear. So a new shield and a lance.
A jousting.
Yeah. I love the helmet. It's very cool looking. $365,000 unlocks a new centaur accessory kit. So weapons for the centaurs. $390,000 unlocks Nessus the Centaur, who is the River Guardian.
Okay.
Who looks pretty cool.
He looks pretty cool.
At 500 backers, the basic steed Sugar Skull is unlocked.
Oh, you guys are doing that. Boo. Yeah.
Which is just
I assume it's a horse that's got a skeleton.
A Mexican
on it.
Day of the Dead theme design. Horse, yeah.
It's cool with them.
And those are all they've got on here for right
so
now.
So far, yeah. They were cranking it out the last time.
Yeah, boy, were they. But we're still early, and there's 44 days to go.
Yeah.
So we still got some time. My favorite Kickstarter going out right now, which is the Batman Gotham City Chronicles.
Hasn't that finally ended?
No, it's got 67 hours.
Oh, God.
It's at $3,518,740. And they have, since we last talked, gotta scroll down, so far down, scroll.
Part of me really wants to back that, but I can't.
They've unlocked Katana, they've unlocked Green Arrow, they've unlocked the Bat Cow.
Which is Damien's thing.
Yes, they've unlocked Tusk. They've unlocked Azrael. They've unlocked Killer Moth. And they added a new version of Hush, Jason Todd, in his Robin Hush gear. And they unlocked Bane.
Bane was that far down?
Yeah, Bane is $3,625,000.
Wow. Come on, man. Doing characters you and I never heard of.
Bane may be one of the last characters they unlock at this point. Because it's... Although... Usually in the last 24 hours is when these Kickstarters really like fly into overdrive.
Well, it's usually the first couple hours, the first day, and then the last couple hours.
Yeah, so
everyone things really...
Yeah, so I know, I feel you on this. Like, I kind of, part of me was like, oh, I kind of want to back it, but really I'm like, it's back a lot it. Of
I
just, money.
I can't.
There are 154 miniatures in this game as of right now. 46 stretch goals. I mean, if you just backed the $140 one, you'd get all the stretch goals.
Yeah, so, but you wouldn't get all the cool.
No, but yeah.
Optional maps and
yeah, and the expansions and all that stuff.
Stuff. It must have stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool, but again, it's like,
We know someone who has it.
We know someone who's backing it, so we'll it's
beat him up and take it away from him.
He'll bring it to game night one night. We'll all play it.
Yeah.
That's all I really want to do. I just want to play it. Like, I don't necessarily want to own it. I'm just like, I kind of want to play it because it looks.
Well, you don't have to have it when we take it away from Brad.
That's right. You can have it, and then we can play it together.
Yes.
And then Brad can cry in the corner, like the whiny cry.
This is perfect.
I know, right?
Oh, God, it's rare that we're this in sync.
I know. Usually we're like off kilter, but just slightly.
Just you're a genius, sir.
I know.
I like the way you think.
So how do we we can have Bill attacking from behind. Bill knows judo.
Bill knows jujitsu.
So Bill can take him down. We'll steal his game.
Yeah.
And then Bill can sit on him while he cries and we'll run off and hide.
Bill is going to be like, I'm going to get a text because Bill listens to the
no,
show.
No, he does.
And he's going to be like, I am totally down with this plan.
That's why I saw our good friend Bill at work last week. After you and I had a texting war between one another.
Yeah.
And I had told him about the texting war. And then he, I'm guessing, had texted you.
He sent me a text. And it was a little, like, I wasn't quite sure if he was referring to it or not. And then he sent another one that made it clear he was referring to it.
And he told me he was going to. And I was like, please do. Because I want to hear what Dave says to me. Because Dave was in this Jesse Pinkman, every other word was bitch.
Yeah.
And it was, he was trying to outdo me and all of my nuttiness.
You just went like swerved and called me a dentist. And
I called you Bitchy McBitcherson DDS. And I was like, I don't know why you're a dentist, but it makes sense.
I got nothing.
It's like, you win.
That just completely derailed me. Like, why am I a dentist? I don't understand.
Oh, there's no understanding me. Yeah, it just happens, man. Oh, my God. So while Dave was having a rough weekend.
You were off partying.
Yes, I was off partying. I had two auctions to go to this weekend. One of them on Saturday, which I went to, was mostly to help out a buddy of mine that lives in Lincoln named Mickey Tate. He owns a store up there called Primary Color Retros. And this auction I had seen like a month ago and had sent him the link. And I was like, you might want to look through the pictures because this is right up your alley. Because there was a lot of video game stuff, like a lot of video game stuff. And that's what he sells a lot of. He sells, you know, he makes his money on video game stuff.
That's a big thing these days.
So he's like, awesome. He's like, I'm going to go. I'm like, cool. I'm like, I might go. I don't know. I'm like, I see one, maybe two things in there that really catch my eye. But beyond that, I'm like, So about a couple weeks ago, he's like, hey, would you want to go with me just so I have somebody there with me? And I was like, sure, why not? What the hell? Like, I don't have any plans that day. I'll go. So I got up at 5:30 in the morning. And drove to Godfrey, Illinois, because I was like, you know what, I'll meet you there, because that way if I have to leave for something, like if something comes up, you don't have to like ditch out on this auction, because this is your thing, not mine. I'm like, I'm just kind of going to hang out and, you know, and you know, to help you if you need it. So I drive in the awful storm to Godfrey, Illinois. It was the worst. It was a worse drive than when you and I went to Toy Man and spun out. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
It was, I had a semi roll past me, pouring down rain, windy,
this semi rolled past me on the left, mind you, which he was going 80. And I'm like, you're out of your mind, dude. And he blanketed me with so much water, I literally was sweating because I couldn't, like, the wipers couldn't keep up with how much water was hitting me. And I was like, I don't know where I'm at. Like, I'm just, I'm crossing my fingers, I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to be alive when this is all over. Like, I couldn't see a thing for about 2 minutes. Yeah, I'm still here.
It's okay. Okay, yes, you are alive.
It was.
I have checked.
One of the scariest moments of my life, other than spinning out with you on the highway. So I get to Godfrey, you know, it stopped raining by the time I get there, but half of the auction's outside. It's like 40 degrees out. Oh, dude, it was just...
That sounds miserable.
This auction company was not prepared for this auction. They were and they weren't. They had some stuff separated. Like, they had separated... They had tried to get as much of it out of the house as they could, but the stuff in the house, they didn't have... set up in such a way, like, there was just shit everywhere. There was still shit in closets, like, their comic books and magazines in closets, and, like, a whole room full of stuff was just, like, stacked against a wall where you couldn't see what was what, and, like, people are bidding on stuff blindly, and the guy's collection was eclectic, to say the least. This gentleman passed away. He was in his 70s.
Okay.
He collected fountain pens. So he had fountain pens, and then he just had, like, massive amounts of books on fountain pens, which I didn't know they made. They printed that much material on fountain pens. Apparently, he collected porn because he had thousands of VHS tapes, thousands of DVDs, many of them still sealed, full runs of magazines like Playboy, full runs of Jugs, like... Just, I mean, every porn magazine that came out probably from the 70s on, he probably had full runs of everything. Like, he just bought everything he could. He had a bookcase that was full of, I swear to you, was full of nothing but porn star biographies. And I went, are there seriously this many biographies for porn stars?
Wow.
It was nuts. Walk in the house, into, like, the main room. And up against the wall, he had one of those, like, 7 foot high by 6.5 foot wide DVD shelves, like the really nice ones, like mahogany. It was, filled top to bottom with nothing but DVD TV sets. Hmm. Not a damn one of them had ever been opened and watched. Every one of these sets was still shrink wrapped and sealed. Half of his DVDs still shrink wrapped and sealed. Like, he just bought stuff just to buy it and put it on a shelf. Like, he had.
What a monster.
Well, he collected video games. So he had just about every video game system from the 80s up still sealed in the box. He had them all hooked up to a big television, and there was just this...
How can they be hooked up to a TV if they're sealed in the box?
He had two sets. He had one set sealed in the box, and he had another one that he had He had hooked up.
That's a common collector move.
He had every TurboGrafx CD game. He had every Sega CD game. He had, I don't know if he had full runs of Nintendo and Genesis, but he had almost a full run of Super Nintendo. He had a complete library of Dreamcast where probably 80% of it was still sealed and still wrapped. I mean, just, he had comics. He must have loved Elvira and Lady Death because he had every Chaos comic that's ever been printed.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. He had Vampirella. He had full runs of ElfQuest stuff. Just the most... And then in the middle of the room, in this main room as you walk in, there's a box of sex toys. Like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to go kind of dirty, but there was a huge boxed black cock. Wow. There were pocket vaginas that were both sealed in the box and open. So some of them may or may not have been used. Let's just say
I
no
kind
one.
Kind of almost wish I had gone to this.
Let's
auction.
Just say no one bought that.
I was going to ask.
The auctioneer bought it and said he was going to give it to somebody as a joke, and everybody went, "Uh huh, okie dokie, buddy."
Okie dokie, buddy.
He had every video game magazine. He had a full run of Nintendo Power up until probably 2002. He had every EGM, every GamePro, every computer magazine, every like Commodore mag, like every. It was insane. Like. It's just the massive amount of stuff.
This guy sounds like he had massive amounts of money and very little social skills.
Yes. I mean, it was mountains of stuff.
And prices were kind of like, people were throwing money at porn like there's no tomorrow. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, apparently it's a thing.
I guess.
Well, yeah. I
walked out of there. So I'm looking at this bookcase, and they were still outside selling. I'm looking at this bookcase that had all the porn biographies on it. And I see this smattering of, like, video game stuff. Like, books I'd never seen before. Like, complete encyclopedias to video game collecting and stuff like that. So I made this, like, little healthy stack of stuff. So when they got inside and came to that to auction it off, and it was, like, before I get to that price, when he auctioned off all the box sets, they were doing it by rows. So they'd go from left to right all the way across.
Oh, okay.
First shelf.
I hate when they do stuff like that.
But I'm not talking, like, a section. I'm talking all the way across.
I gotcha.
Yeah. They were selling, the whole rows were selling for like $100-$120. And you're talking thousands of dollars in box sets in just a row. Mm. I mean, it was crazy. But so they get to this bookcase, and I tell the lady, I'm like, hey, will you auction off this stack by itself? And she's like, okay. And she tells the auctioneer, and he's like, all right, he's like, you know, got a stack of video game books. You know, what do you give me for it? And I wasn't going to risk it because I seen what a lot of these people had been bidding on. So I was like, I'll give you $20. And he's like, $20, $20, $20. You know, he does this whole thing. And he's like, sold. And I was like, well, that was super easy. And Mickey.
Nobody whined and cried.
No.
And like, oh,
no.
Well.
And Mickey, must be nice. Mickey comes up and he goes, why did you start that so high? You could have got them for like $5-$10. I'm like, because I don't trust some of these guys around here. And it seems like the lower things start, the more people start to bid. I'm like, if I just throw out a price immediately, everybody seems to back up. And then the other thing they had was he had this flat of ElfQuest stuff, and it was...
I was going to ask. You said he had ElfQuest.
I didn't get any of the comics, and I'll show you when we get downstairs what I got. But because I've got all the comics, but he had all the novels that were released, including the original, in immaculate shape. He had original fan club materials, like still like in their envelopes.
Nice.
And,
yeah. Wow.
Clippings and stuff from different magazines. A bunch of like ElfQuest prints, like the print collections.
Okay.
Like from the early 80s.
Did you get another set of the figures?
No, I did not. He did not have the figures, surprisingly. Not a lot of toys. He had a shit ton of statues. Well, and again, they were all...
He did have toys.
They were just... all Elvira and Playboy and Tomb Raider and like...
All right, well...
He had a thing. And it seemed like...
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. I can't fault him for...
No, I can't either. But yeah, so
times of crisis, you go with what you know.
I got the ElfQuest stuff for next to nothing.
Nice,
which was wonderful. Well,
apparently, they were there for video games and porn.
And then
elves,
yeah, I know. And then in the closet, they were auctioning off a bunch of comics. And in the back of the closet, a guy had bought the closet. He was cleaning out, and in the back of the closet was a ton more ElfQuest stuff, like just paper stuff. And I was like, "We can do a lot of ElfQuest stuff." He goes, "I don't want it. You can have it." It's like, "I will take it." Because he's like, I just want the comics. I don't care about all that crap. He goes, I'll throw it away. I'm like, I'll take it. So it was a really weird... I left before they got to the actual video games because they were holding all the video games to the end of the day. There was stuff downstairs. There was stuff in the house. There was a whole cart of games outside that they hadn't even touched yet. And that they were saving that for the very last thing they were even going to touch. And I left. It was like 2 o'clock. And I was like, I got to go. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm going home. So I drove home, and later Mickey tells me that he dropped about $4,000.
Wow.
Yeah. On just, he bought the entire Dreamcast run that guy had. He bought, all the Sega CD stuff. All the, I don't remember what else he bought, but he bought a lot of stuff. He dropped, like, the guy had a bunch of Silver Age comics. I know he dropped a ton of money on Silver Age comics.
Wow.
Like just boxes full of like. You know, 60s, 70s, Fantastic Four and X-Men. And yeah, it was nuts. It was crazy. But there was so much, like, you couldn't dig through there to see what was actually in there.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you're just bidding blindly on this shit. So that was an adventure. That was the strangest auction that I'd ever been to in my life. Just for the amount of porn, I'm just like, there's so much porn in this house. It's insane. It was crazy. And then Sunday was David Gall and the Gall Auction House, he and his father, they had an auction on Sunday. And David had sent you and I some pictures as they were setting up the auction. He was like, hey, you know, and it was a lot of loose, random stuff. And I was interested. You weren't. You were like, nah, I didn't see anything good. Well, I went out to the barn on Thursday last week.
Okay.
After work. And I think I was out there for like 4 hours. And I helped him sort a lot of stuff because he still had like 7 or 8 big boxes full of like just randomness.
Well, I assume if there was anything good, you would have sent me a text.
Yeah, and the stuff that was there was stuff that you already had. Like the Joe stuff and all that. Like nothing extremely super stupid rare.
No Star Wars stuff.
No, okay. No. There was very little, and it was nothing that you didn't already have. Mm. Figure-wise, there was like, we found a 12-inch Luke lightsaber, and, you know. So we kind of were going through boxes and finding like, here's a Transformer part, here's a Joe weapon, here's some Legos, like just, you know, randomness, making piles of stuff so it can all go together. And then Sunday I went to the Gall auction and hung out there all day. And I walked out of there with a lot of stuff, man.
Did you?
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I figured there was gonna be a lot of competition for a lot of it. And there was some competition because people had been looking at the toys all day. And you know what when we go to auctions, I usually like scan the crowd to try to pick out, okay, who are we gonna be up against? Like,
yeah.
who's gonna throw money around?
I was going through my Facebook memories today, and there was a posting for an earlier David Duvall, which was Hobbit Head.
Oh.
Remember
him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of scoping out all day, you know, looking at the competition, thinking, okay, well, who's going for what? You know, you see a lot of people looking at the toys and looking around, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get out of here with anything today. Like, I had my eye on a couple things, but I was like, eh, we'll see what happens. I walked out of there with 158 muscle figures, including a Satan's Cross. For anyone that's familiar with muscle figures, is like one of the rarest, one of the rare figures. Like, they're super rares, but he's like a $60 figure, which is stupid to me.
Okay. Me too.
I got those for like $9. Like, okay, just whole flat of muscle figures.
I mean, okay, that's still $9 you could have used for, I don't know, food or. Okay, so muscle figures. What other wonders did you find?
I walked out of there with all the Transformer stuff.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Including an almost complete parts to Omega Supreme. It was missing...
Oh, it was missing, congratulations,
one,
sir.
It was missing one track piece, one leg clip, and the claw arm piece.
Oh, well, that's...
But using some of the stuff I had accessory-wise... Like, I ended up with another Ragoth gun from Power Lords and one of the two little RC car Transformers that they released that was just the body, but it still had all the Transformer pieces to it. So I traded those to Brent Scarano for the pieces that I needed. And then I found a guy who had, because it didn't have the tank. Like, the tank was missing.
God, that's another thing that was missing.
Come but on, but the, I just found the tank for a trade, so
congratulations. That was a piece that I know you've wanted long time.
Yes, so that was pretty cool. But I got all the Transformers that were there, and there was a lot there.
Okay,
like the Transformers. I've got an extra sound, like an extra vintage Soundwave, an extra vintage Perceptor. Perceptor's missing his gun, but these guys. Some of them, I've got sticker sheets for some of them because Omega Supreme never had the stickers put on.
Hmm.
Like, I got the sticker sheet for Omega Supreme. I've got stickers for several of them. I don't know, this kid just like obviously this stuff had been played with because there was a cliff jumper and his legs were broke. There was some broken stuff in there. But the majority of them, like, they were still almost brand new. Like, I was transforming, the Stunticons leader.
Motormaster.
I was transforming Motormaster. And you know how his arms fold out?
Yes.
They were so... It was so tight. Like, it was brand new. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, I've never seen this before. So, yeah, a lot of the stuff. I got Michael Knight and Kit.
Wow, nice.
Yes. Missing the passenger door, but he works. He displays nicely.
Okay.
I got the original G.I. Joe tank. I can't think of what it was. It wasn't the Mobat. It was the electronic one, the motorized one.
That's the Mobat.
Is it the Mobat?
Yeah.
Didn't have the driver, but the tank was complete. Doesn't work. You can hear stuff rattling in there, so it's obvious something's broke. But treads are still there. The little turret's still there. It still looks nice. I was like, this is the Joe Vigal I remember having when I was 4 years old, 4 or 5. And I'm like, I kind of want that. I'm like, that's the one Joe vehicle that I've always been like, if I could find it for cheap, I'd get it. I don't care the driver's not there. Maybe it was Clutch, I think, right? It was the driver, Steeler. It's like, eh, maybe one day I'll find a complete Steeler and I'll buy him. But I'm like, eh. So he's up on the entertainment center because I'm like, eh, it's, I had that. That was the
one joke. Maybe you'll know somebody that's going to JoeCon and can help you out.
Yeah, I wonder.
Actually, I should look through that stuff that I bought off of you. I might have an extra Steeler.
Oh, yeah, you might.
I might.
So I got that. I got Kit. I walked out of it with a bunch of Master stuff. Basically, the Slime Pit, an almost complete Snake Mountain. Spy Door.
Okay. That's a cool toy. I have one of those.
I want to say there was something else in there. I got a bunch of like flats of like girl toys and McDonald's toys.
Of course
that,
you did.
That Carrie loved to dig through that we found a bunch of stuff that I didn't have. Was able to switch out a bunch of like Care Bears, vintage Care Bear minis that I had for ones that I already had because these were in way better shape.
Gotcha.
See, it was a very interesting auction. It was, like an almost unused Care Bear Sit and Spin, which one day we're going to film the puppet on because it's just too funny. Like, I'd never seen one in this good a condition. It looked like it just came right out of the box. Like, it'd never been used. I was like, well, that's damned interesting, I suppose. So, yeah, it was a very interesting auction. And I hadn't planned, like, on walking out of there with so much, but, like, nobody's bidding on this stuff. And I'm like, I think the Sit and Spin was the most money I spent. I think it was $15. And everything else was, like, super affordable. Like, beyond super affordable. Like, I watched, everybody fought for the real Ghostbusters figures because there was a complete Firehouse.
Okay.
There was an almost complete Ecto-1. I think it was missing one of the doors. But a bunch of like just loose random figures and parts. Everybody fought for the Masters figures because there was a lot of figures.
Okay.
But
not the playsets.
Nobody wanted, well, they fought for Castle Grayskull, but nobody wanted Snake Mountain. Nobody wanted the Slime Pit. Nobody wanted Spy Door. It was super weird. I was like, all right, cool. I had one kid that told me after the auction, and he bought like all the Voltron stuff because he had a bunch of Panache Place Voltron. He bought all the G.I. Joe stuff, like all the vehicles he had that were just in like pieces of parts.
Yeah, they looked like garbage.
Yeah. Bought all the figures, which there was some, I mean, you know, Tomax Zaymont, there was his Zartan, stuff like that. He bought all those. He told me later we were talking, because him and I were fighting over like the Michael Knight and Kit car. Which I got for $9. Which he was like, I'd have fought you harder on that, but it didn't have the passenger door.
Yeah, it didn't have a door.
And meanwhile, I know where I can get a passenger side door.
So do you really?
I do indeed.
God, you are just...
Yes, sir.
Part of me admires you and a part of me hates you.
Hates me, yeah, I know. So,
it was a very... I just wish you could do this for me. Like, every time I ask you to like help me out with something, you're like, it's impossible, can't be done.
What are you talking about?
Like, nobody's got that piece. Nobody's got that Star Wars piece.
Here's the problem.
Nobody made Star Wars toys.
Here's the problem with you is that when we're out someplace, like when we do something like that, like you have either bought it already. Like, it's the same problem I have with Christmas for you. Like, it's so hard for me to track down something for you that you haven't A, already bought, or B, have purchased and it's just not here yet. And 9 times out of 10, especially with Star Wars stuff, you know as well as I do, the Star Wars shit that you're looking for, half the time I don't ever see in the wild. Like, because that's the kind of stuff you're like, I
haven't. You're the guy that's all hooked. You can get a passenger door for a Kit.
Yes.
But you can't hook a brother up with some Star Wars weapons.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. Oh, my God. That's not how this conversation was supposed to go at all.
I mean, like I said, I'm kind of impressed, and I'm kind of
a...
So you were talking to the guy...
I was talking to the guy, and he was like, well, I run a booth out at Leeson's Antique, which is... I didn't ask him which one, because there's 3 Leeson's Antique malls outside of Springfield.
Yes, there are.
So I didn't ask him which one, but he said he runs a booth, and he's pretty much the only person that sells that type of stuff. So I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I mean, he's a nice guy. Like, I was like, dude, I wasn't trying to run you up or nothing. I'm like, this stuff's just going to my collection. And he's like, no, I get that. And he was younger than me. He was like... he said that something I bid on might have been the muscle figures. He didn't bid on them at all, and he was like, as before my time. And I'm thinking, you should be more knowledgeable of the stuff that you're selling, dude, because I saw the Satan's Cross figure in the box. That was the only reason I bid on them, because I'm like, I can probably turn these around and make some money on them at some point. So there's 158 of those little bastards, and there's only a handful of them that are duplicates, so yeah. Yeah. It's good times, David. Good times.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, you were...
I was at home.
Fighting with a leaky roof.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, other people were fighting because I couldn't get up there.
Yeah,
it was not a good weekend. Not a good weekend.
Hopefully this weekend will be better for you. Although it's supposed to rain all this weekend, so there is that.
I know.
Yeah, so, eh.
Well, I think we got it fixed.
Yeah.
We've had some rain since then, and nothing's gotten through.
Nothing's gotten through, which is a plus.
So, that's good. I figure something would have gotten through. Because even when it was like kind of piddling around, stuff was still, like when it was still unfixed.
Right.
Stuff was piddling through even when it kind of eased up.
Right.
So I don't know. In a couple weeks, maybe we'll take the tape off the light switches and see if the lamp doesn't explode.
Ah, gotcha.
Because it literally came, it was dripping right into the ceiling fan lamp.
Oh, okay. So, that's not fun.
So I had to like tape up the switches so that Tracy didn't come in and like, because the first thing she does is she comes right in the kitchen and turns on that light. So she was like, thank you for doing that.
And you're like, we've got a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you don't have
to. Ironically, I was thinking about you last night because we put a roast in the crock pot.
Ah, yes.
And I know you've been talking, you're because of that show, you're afraid of crock pots.
Yep, crock pots. I always make sure to tell Carrie, you unplug the crock pot, right? Like, it's unplugged and off, right?
Nope, so we went to sleep with the crock pot cooking away slowly.
Oh, you bastards are just
whatever.
Poking at fate, man.
All right, well, if a fire breaks out, it'll just be put out by the leak in the roof.
Fair enough.
It all comes together.
Fair enough. It all works out.
It all works out.
It all works out in the end. Oh, there you go, guys. There's another week at David of All's Toys and Collectibles. Next week, we'll be back. We'll talk about Ready Player One.
Yay.
Dave and I will be seeing that this weekend. So
we'll go full nerd guy. Excuse me, Thur in the book. Thur. They did this.
And the book, Thur.
Thur in the book. Yes. They did this, Thur.
Because Dave and I have both read the book.
Both read the book. Yes.
And Thur.
They're pretty flat out that they changed the book.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is fine. Because but to me, the books. Okay. We'll, before we completely wrap up, let me just say that I am fine with that because A, we've read the book.
Yes.
Right? We've done that story, so this is a different take on it. So it'll be fresh for us.
Right.
It's more action-y, like they were not gonna like if you haven't read the book, spoiler alert for the book, which I'm pretty sure is not in the movie, like they were not going to recreate war games scene for scene.
No.
And that would have been kind of boring.
That would have been very boring. In the book it's only like maybe two paragraphs, three paragraphs.
Yeah, they mentioned they do it. Like, and it's all the basic heart of the story will be the same.
Yeah.
It's just I think that the actual challenges will be different, which is
except
cool.
Except for maybe the first one. It sounds like the first one might still have a D&D.
I would love that. Like, I'm assuming the first one's the car race.
Yeah.
Like, because apparently that happens early.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. But, so I'm you know, and everyone keeps saying it's a return to form for Spielberg, and
which is awesome.
Like, yes, although I'm sad because Williams did not do the music.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though. You talk about that, and then they premiered a new trailer for a movie called The House with the Clock on the Wall.
I've seen...
And it's directed by Eli Roth, who is a horror guy.
Yeah.
But it's produced by Spielberg and Amblin, and apparently it's like a huge... Like, I'll show you the trailer after we're done. It's a huge-looking Spielberg film, like... It's Jack Black and Kate Blanchett. And,
yeah, I saw thumbnails on YouTube.
Yeah, so it looks interesting. But we will talk about Ready Player One next week, and if it is indeed Spielberg's return to Spielbergism, and all that good stuff. So, gang, check us out on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Check us out on YouTube.com/ToyWorldOrder and board the show. And gang, until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you cannot stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.